As I mentioned already, the title of the message this morning is Take Courage, I Have Overcome. These are the words of Jesus. Hope in the midst of life's challenges. So we look forward to Steve's message. We're reading from John chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. Again, this is the words of Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, Now you are speaking clearly and without a figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Do you now believe? Jesus replied, A time is coming, and this fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Blessing, Steve.
All right, good morning. Ready? This is our annual covenant signing Sunday, time when we just give a little bit of our service to reaffirming in a symbolic way our commitment to this community of faith, to worship together, serve together, care for one another, discern God's will and what faithfulness is all about together. A body here who gives their allegiance to Jesus. So, keep that in mind as I talk today and how this applies to who we are as a church. We thought as elders that this would be a good Sunday to unveil our theme and our scripture verse for the year. And so I was going to have Dan give a drum roll, but we've been saying this morning. Chris has reminded us, but the theme is hope in the midst of life's challenges. Like any theme that you might pick for a year or for a Sunday, this could apply any year. It's not maybe specific to 2024, but we could probably think of lots of challenges that we face as a people, as a church this year. We live in a world of turmoil, hear news every day of wars that are going on out there, mass shootings, natural disasters. We're living in a time of a lot of, it seems, political instability. I don't know if you think this way, but when I think about this election year, my thought isn't that we're going to have lots of good spirited debate and it's our democracy in its finest hour. Just feels like it's going to get uglier and uglier before this year's out. So we just kind of carry that as a people in this country. As a church, we've had losses over this past year, and those losses have an effect on us as a people. And just that kind of that sense in general, the church as a whole in this day, like, are we losing relevance with the people around us? Do we still somehow shine the light and the love of Jesus? And is that received and heard, by others around us? So, this year surely has its challenges. And so the scripture verse we want to focus on in particular is the last verse of what was just read for us. John, I should have put it on here. John 16:33. Jesus says, I've told you all these things. He just got done a lengthy conversation with his disciples. I've told you all these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. There's lots of themes in there, and we'll continue to reflect on that and think about hope in the midst of life's challenges throughout the year. In the Amplified Bible, obviously amplifies or expands a particular scriptures. And so I just thought this would give a fuller picture of this verse. In the Amplified Bible, it says, I've told you these things so that in me you will have perfect peace or complete peace. In this world, you will have tribulations, you will have distress, you will have sufferings, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy, because I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. So that's the scripture that I want to focus on this morning, that particular passage. And just to give some context to this particular quote, this verse, it's the very end of a conversation that Jesus has had. This is the night of his arrest. They already had the meal together. Jesus already washed their feet. And then he gathers them together. This is from John. And in verse 14 to 16, he's giving them assurances because he's letting them know, I'm about to go back to my Father, but I want you to be assured everything's going to be okay. And so he said, if you look over those three chapters, he says things like, I'm going back to the Father. My Father's house has many rooms. Surely I'll prepare a place for you and I'll come back for you. He says that the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, will be sent to you. And this Holy Spirit will teach you all things about me and remind you everything about me and give you the strength that you need. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Just stay connected to me and you will bear much fruit. I think it's three times within these chapters he says, ask and it will be given for you. Like, I'm listening. I'm your intercessor. I'm here for you. But he also says, you'll face persecution. If they've persecuted your teacher, surely they're going to persecute the students. So, beware of that. But I'm here. You know, you'll never, be out of my touch. But then he says, I think it's the end of verse 14. He says something, and it's almost like Jesus needs the same assurance that he's giving to his disciples. And he's carrying that assurance. But he says this, I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. That night, his arrest, the next day, crucify him. The prince of this world is coming hard after him. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. So Jesus is leaning on that same assurance as he's agonizing in the garden, he will face trouble. He will face distress this night above all others, beyond what we'll ever face. But take heart. I've overcome the world. God is victorious. I want to just highlight some of the key themes here that what we want to carry out of this scripture. The first is just this idea of the world, as Jesus is describing here. Obviously one way we can think about the world is this earth that God's created, this world that God created and loved so much that he sent his son to redeem it. The world or cosmos, also has the idea of how this world is ordered, the way that things function and live out here in this world. that God created. We could think about how our body works and the ways that there's order to how we stay healthy and respond to things. The church, thinking about signing our covenant, the church functions as each of our part, each of us as a body part, in a sense, does its part as we forgive and as we encourage and as we teach and as we lead. There's a good order, to what happens. This morning in senior high Sunday school, we talked about wisdom in Proverbs and how in Proverbs 3, it says, like, God imprinted wisdom, like Lady Wisdom, right in the midst of his creation. So God's good and wise purposes are just built into the fabric. And when we live according to that, there's good order as God intended it. But that order's been disrupted or hijacked. There's still order. There's things still work somehow in this world, but it's been corrupted by sin. You can think about government systems and how governments lead their people throughout the world. It's not perfect by any means. In the business world, how there's been ways that it's gone apart from God's intention. The way we educate, whether it's formally or informally, or the way we pass on information and raise up the next generation can go in different directions. The ways our communities interact together, even the way the church functions together. Values and our values and pursuits have gone in different directions, even in disobedience to God. So Jesus is experiencing the world coming against God and God's will as he literally experiences and takes that on in his crucifixion. So Jesus came to redeem this order, this world of ours, and he's colliding with it and he's confronting it. And those who follow him, us, are going to face that collision as well. In this world, you will have troubles. The brokenness of this world is going to raise up troubles for us. And so we're going to face our trials and our sufferings, disease, disloyalty, scarcity, war, opposition to the things that Jesus stands for, things that represent God's love. Just a quick example that I noticed in the last couple of weeks. Some Mennonites took action down in Washington a couple of weeks ago, and Dan was part of that demonstration or that peaceful gathering outside, and there was some action inside the Capitol. But there was an article that I read in a particular news organization, and the particular article felt to me pretty fair, describing the intention, what was trying to be communicated, you know, what happened. But like the title or the tickler, the, what do you call that? The hook. Yeah. What used the word anti-Semitic to get you to read this. And it just kind of angered me that that's just a false characterization of what was being communicated in that gathering, you know, and so the way in this case, the media would change things for a particular narrative, instead of truly characterizing what was trying to be affected that day. A simple example of how we face opposition or just in this world, things aren't communicated clearly or brought the way God has intended it to be. So, in this world, we're going to have our challenges. I'm using the word challenges, but trouble is in the NIV, the one that we read. The word specifically means pressure. In this world, you will face pressure. And that word literally means when we face a restriction or when we feel like we don't have any options, when there's no way of escape, when we're hemmed in. So in this world, you'll face times of discouragement or disillusionment when it feels like there's no hope for this situation, there's no hope for my family, there's no hope for my world, there's no hope for my church, whatever that might be, in this world, you're going to face those times when it feels like this can't be redeemed, or this is really going in the wrong direction and can't be reversed. But the message here is take heart. That's what Jesus' message is to us and to his disciples. Take heart. Be of good courage. Be courageous. Be undaunted by this situation. And again, that word literally means be warmed up from the inside. Like be emboldened inside your heart to face this challenge. Be strong and courageous is the message that Jesus is giving here. Couple weeks ago, I was looking for a topic for my, I guess, January 14th sermon. And I looked what the lectionary scriptures were for that day. And I picked one of them. But another one of the scriptures was 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I read a little bit of the commentary there. It's where Samuel, as a little boy, is hearing God's voice. And he doesn't know who's speaking, and he thinks it's Eli, the judge, the priest who he's living with. But that particular chapter is all about how Eli's received a message from God that, like, I'm taking away, the authority from your household. Like, your sons are so corrupt, you will no longer carry the assignment or the mission that I have for you and your family. But Samuel is being raised up in a sense to fill that. But here's a commentary from an Old Testament scholar, Stephen Chapman, that I read in the commentary. And think about this in terms of be of good courage, take heart, have hope. Eli's day might be past, but he still has a role to play in God's economy. He knows what to do when God appears. He knows to ask the Lord to speak and how to listen himself. He blesses the Lord even when the news is bad for him and for his house personally. Samuel's day is coming. His youth and newness show that God has not forgotten his people, Israel. God will raise up faithfulness in the debris of human unfaithfulness. I just thought that was powerful. God will raise up faithfulness in the midst of human unfaithfulness. And in a religious world where we often cling to the husks of things long dead, cling to the husks of things that are long dead, this is good news. There's a new generation coming. This is for Eli. God will not let its word fall to the ground. The best days of God's people are not behind us. For Eli, that was the Exodus and Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and entering the Promised Land. No, the best days are still to come, with yet more prophets who will come and an entire world to be redeemed by Jesus in the future of Eli. And then he ends with this. God's people cannot be known for our nostalgia. We must be known for our hope. And maybe hear that above everything else today as we sign our covenant and think about who we are as a church. We can't be known for our nostalgia and how wonderful things may have been in the past for our lives or for our church, but we must be known for our hope because God's not done. His faithfulness even rises up in the midst of human unfaithfulness. So just thought that was a real powerful statement by Stephen Chapman. So why should we be so courageous? Just following through with the scripture. Why should we be so courageous and full of hope? Because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And he's kind of, at this point, he's speaking kind of into the future, knowing that he will overcome the world through his death and resurrection. I've conquered. I am victorious. I have overcome. I've prevailed. I have subdued this world for all of us. The ruler of the world is coming hard, but again, he has no claim over me. I do as the Father commands, and so the world will know that I love the Father. So thinking about just taking the assurance that Jesus has overcome the world. Again, knowing what a topic is that we wanted to share the scripture on this day, you kind of pick up on things along the way that relate to it. And so I was scrolling through Facebook, and a friend of mine put up this quote, and it relates to Jesus's power to overcome. God doesn't eliminate injustice by above with this show of power, but from below by a show of love. Again, think about Jesus' crucifixion. God doesn't burst onto the scene with limitless power, but he descends to the narrow confines of our lives. Just again, thought that was a powerful statement of what we would want for God to make things right is just burst out in the midst of these situations to just make them right. But the way that God has come to us in Jesus is not to burst onto the scene. We celebrate that at Christmas. He didn't burst onto the scene. His ministry wasn't about just overpowering everybody. But he descended into the narrow confines of the life of that day. And he comes right to the very nitty gritty of our lives, to work his redeeming power and to work through us in the narrow spaces of this world, to bring forth his redeeming purposes. Again, the ways of this world or the powers of this world want to just, by great shows of power try to make things right. The way of Christ is from below to get into all those, vulnerable spaces of this world to bring God's love through Jesus and his light. So the hope and the assurance here is as we stand with Jesus, nothing will overcome us. We can prevail against all things. Even thinking about our Anabaptist forebears, facing their death, their burning at the stake or whatever it might be. Even that, they will not be overcome, but they will be victorious in Christ and stand with him forever. So together, as the church, we stand with Jesus and share in his victory. So it seems natural to, to think about Romans 8. So I'm going to read the end of Romans 8 and just think about these words of Paul based on what we've been saying from John 16, 33. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus says to us, I've shared all these things with you so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, be of great courage, be strong and courageous, because I have overcome the world. Amen.